Pimley nodded slowly. Brodigan wants to be here at the end, if only to comfort such a Stanley Ruiz when the sky tears open.
Come, let's have another look at the tapes and the telemetry, just to be safe.
They went up the wide wooden steps of Damley House, side by side. 5. Two of the Cantoi were waiting to escort the master and his security chief downstairs. Pimley reflected on how odd it was that everyone, Breakers and Algolciento staff alike, had come to call them the Low Men, because it was Brodigan who coined the phrase. Speak of angels, hear the flutter of their wings, Prentice's beloved ma might have said, and Pimley supposed that if there were true manimals in these final days of the true world, then the Cantoi would fill the bill much better than the Tahin. If you saw them without their weird living masks, you would have thought they were Tahin, with the heads of rats. But unlike the true Tahin, who regarded Humes, less a few remarkable exceptions, such as Pimley himself, as an inferior race, the Cantoi worshipped the human form as divine. Did they wear the masks in worship? They were close-mouthed on the subject, but Pimley didn't think so. He thought they believed they were becoming human, which was why, when they first put on their masks, these were living flesh, grown rather than made. They took a Hume name to go with their Hume aspect. Pimley knew they believed they would somehow replace human beings after the fall, although how they could believe such a thing was entirely beyond him. There would be heaven after the fall, that was obvious to anyone who'd ever read the Book of Revelation. But Earth? Some new Earth, perhaps. But Pimley wasn't even sure of that. Two Cantoi security guards, Beeman and Trelawney, stood at the end of the hall, guarding the head of the stairs going down to the basement. To Pimley, all Cantoi men, even those with blonde hair and skinny builds, looked weirdly like that actor from the 40s and 50s, Clark Gable. They all seemed to have the same thick, sensual lips and batty ears. Then, when you got very close, you could see the artificial wrinkles at the neck and behind the ears, where their hue masks twirled into pigtails and ran into the hairy, toothy flesh that was their reality, whether they accepted it or not. And there were the eyes. Hair surrounded them. And if you looked closely, you could see that what you originally took for sockets were, in fact, holes in those peculiar masks of living flesh.